How many of you all are currently having daily family devotions? Great. I like to see that. I guess you're here because you want inspired family devotions. Is that? When Nathan told me about this title, I said, could we take off the inspired and just put daily. I like daily. I think that's that in the end is going to bring inspiration. But you may not daily feel inspired in your family devotions. And I think that's all right. A little background about myself. I didn't come from an Anabaptist background. We were raised in a non-denominational church. My father was a first-generation Christian. And the church we went to, for some reason, he had a vision for a large family. And so I have 9 brothers and sisters, and we were probably the only family in the church that was that way. We didn't have a TV. He moved us to a farm when we were growing up. And one thing I always remember is that every day, rain or shine, we read the daily bread. If it wasn't that, it was something else. We were memorizing scripture just every day, and we sang every day. And there was nothing inspirational about it. It was just something we did every day. And I think if you could go away today just thinking, this is something I need to do every day, that's my session. Okay? I'm in a business where sometimes our schedule changes. I'm a beekeeper. And sometimes we have to move bees at night during certain times of the year. And so normally our family time is after dinner. Okay, and it goes from dinner till, we go to bed. It's not a long time. We'll normally have what we call our devotional time, which is whatever we're doing at the time. And I'm going to give you some ideas. Normally included is scripture reading, scripture memorization. And I'll probably demonstrate a little bit how I went about doing that with my children. And I've only got my 3 youngest here because my 7 oldest are taking in a couple other sessions that I wanted them to take in. And so, but I'll demonstrate just a little bit, a simple way that a young family can work on scripture memorization. Singing, one blessing in our church the last 15 years is we've had a song of the month. And now it's usually a song, if it's 6 verses, we take a verse a week as a congregation. So that song's going to take us 6 weeks. If it's 3 verses, it's going to take, but we call it the song of the month. And that has enabled us over a 15-year period to go through a lot of hymns in the hymn book. And it's made us a singing church over the period of time, because it's amazing. You can take a song that nobody really knows that first week, and after 4 weeks, and all the little children in the church memorizing it, it sounds awesome. Okay, so it just, and there's nothing, you know, you don't necessarily feel inspired when you first start this chore of daily and weekly devotions and singing, and but the end result, my whole family, my 9 brothers and sisters, none of them really, except one, came to the Anabaptist circles with us. So it was a slight separation, but in my parents' favor, both who have passed away, there's no divorce, and there's a loving of the heritage of what they all learned as far as the singing and the devotions and the daily prayer for... I remember growing up, one brother had strayed, and every day my dad prayed for my brother in our family time. Well, that brother ended up going with Wycliffe Bible Translators to the mission field in Indonesia and is finishing up their translation work out there on the Bible. But it was interesting. I had a time when I was straying when I was young, and I told myself, I'm not going to let my parents know because they'll be praying for me. I won't be able to enjoy it. Now that sounds sad, but there's power in that family prayer. And I don't want it to get to that point for you that you have to lose a child, and I don't think you have to. I would like to ask the question, have you ever tried to teach and have inspirational family devotions with a rebel? With a rebel in the family? Maybe the oldest child, your son, or the oldest child, your daughter, is a rebel. And you say, well, I'm going to just have family, inspirational family worship. I'd like you to get a vision early for avoiding that.
Amen.
And the first thought, the main thought, I brought up some preliminaries. I'd like to speak just a little bit on honoring your father and your mother, that it may go well with you, and that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives you. If all of us as parents can get a vision for what that verse means, it's not so that we get honor for ourselves. It's that God can bless our children. He can't do it apart from that. He wants to, but part of the way they come to Him is through their parents, through honoring, then obeying, and through that obedience and learning to submit to mom and dad, coming when they call, going where they tell you to go, obeying quickly, obeying cheerfully. It eventually will be the key to their salvation. And unless we get that point clear in our minds, in our child training, inspirational family devotions is going to be a flop. It's going to end up being a flop for us. I thought even, in fact, you can be thinking of some of the things that you do as parents in your family worship as we're going through this session, because I'd like to have a few minutes for you to share and give some ideas out. But about our mandate about the justification for what we're studying today, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently. One of our books that we've used at one point, in fact we're doing some in it right now, is Building Christian Character by Blair Adams. And it has a lot of subjects in there on character, Christ-like character. But diligence was one of them. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and they shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and godly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not. I'm convicted when I read a verse like that. I mean, I'm talking about daily family devotions. I'm thinking once a day, you know. But this was all the time you're with them. That's important. It's important that we don't think we can repair all the damage done in a day by our careless words as parents, by the way we've spoken evil of somebody in the fellowship or of a neighbor, and then go into family devotions and turn out saints for God. It won't work. Now, I have used family devotions as a time for myself to make a confession. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, if Dad owes an apology and he needs to make something right, there's no better time than family devotions to do it. Okay? Preferably before you start teaching. This thing about honoring mom and dad, training our children to obey, getting a vision for what God wants to do in our family, what He wants to give them, spiritually speaking, if they'll learn first off to submit wholeheartedly, cheerfully to mom and dad, which will lead them eventually to submit to Him. If we get that vision and we can transfer that to our children to the point that they're saying, I'm not just honoring mom and dad because they're telling me to. That's important enough. But God says it will go well with me. They get a vision for it. And when they do that, your family devotions, half the battle's done as to whether they're inspirational or not. Your children will be helping you out in family devotions. You'll ask questions, you'll get answers. Some of the blessings of family devotions: it's the best opportunity you're going to have to teach the Word of God. I mean, you got busy days. You're working. We have 10 children. I don't know about you, but things can get busy over the course of the day. But this is the time to bring the focus back in. And whether you do it in the morning, and like I got scattered there a little bit in my work sometimes, we do have to do it in the morning if we're going to be leaving in the evening to move bees. But that 95% of the time, our devotions are in the evening. It works best for us. But if you do it in the morning for your schedule, that's great. That's how it was when I grew up. It's the best opportunity to teach the Word of God. It's the best opportunity to teach your children to read. My children are reading. My wife is teaching them. And as they learn to read at night, they get to practice. And they get to practice in front of the whole family. And they get to read out loud. You'd be surprised how many adults can't read out loud. And you can't hear them when they read. Opportunity for training your children. John, I can't hear you. Could you read that up a little louder? And boy, I tell you what, and when they learn to read, and they finally get to take part in the reading of the Word with all their big brothers and sisters, they love it. I mean, it's like something they've been looking forward to for 5 years till they could learn to read. And now they get to read. And they get to read out loud. And it's the best opportunity you're going to have to teach your children to be good readers. To teach singing. And we sing. And I tell you what, that's... If they're not singing, and you might think I'm harsh, but they're going to sing the next verse alone. Okay? And they learn to really sing out. It's amazing how that works. And all my children love to sing. They know I'm fair. I may be hard at times on them, but family devotions, to be honest, is a time of child training. People sometimes wonder, well, how come I can't get my children to sit still on Sunday through the sermons? Well, if you don't do it the other 6 days of the week, I think it's unfair to expect that they're going to do it on Sunday. And if you only do it on Sunday and you don't do it the rest of the week, it's hypocritical. So it's a lose-lose situation. Make them sit right in family devotions all week long. Make them take part. And I say make them, command them. Lead them. They're your children. If you don't do it, nobody else will. So... it's just a wonderful opportunity. I can't say that enough. Take advantage of every opportunity you have as a family for training. You can have fun in family worship. I might put my youngest singers with my oldest singers that are, they've been through it. They're good singers, and yet my young one needs to, and so I might have them do verse 2 and 3. I might put my Judson, who's in the back there sitting in on this session, and he's my oldest, and I may put him with Justice and John, and they'll sing verse 2. Okay. Just you can mix it however you want, but it's just a wonderful opportunity to teach singing, in parts. It's a good opportunity, as we already said, to teach listening. You may think that, well, that's easy for him. He's probably really good at it. You know, and his children all sit there like angels, and they all just listen, and you know, that was just part of the Christensen gene pool. You know, well, I tell you, it isn't that way. To be honest, sometimes I do some we'll go through our devotional on it, and it may be easier for the younger ones. This is one that's really good for the little guys. There's certain things in there I may not take. You know, you, as a parent, you have to be, use your judgment. If you run across something that you don't agree with, well, I'm the one that's speaking, so I omit that. Okay? Use your good judgment that God gave you to teach what your children need to be taught. On any book that you get, if you see something that you don't think is good for your family, don't give it to them. Just because it's in the book doesn't make it right. Okay? But this one here is pretty deep. And so sometimes, for my little guys, and I'll just take a small section of it each night, but there's a lot of scriptures that are given to back up the sections, so then I pass the scriptures around to the family. And, for instance, when I give them the scriptures, I expect that they're all going to remember their scripture and not ask me five more times while I'm going around the circle, well, what was mine again? What was mine? You know, because you can't do that with 10 children. You got 9 of them saying, well, what was mine again? And I'm like, I don't know what yours was. I gave it to you once, you know. What you do is you teach them to listen to one command, and they have to remember their command. It's another opportunity for training. They have to remember their command was to read Genesis 6, verse 8. The next one has to remember 1 Corinthians, even though he's hearing 8 other verses being assigned to the other children. He has to remember just his verse. Okay? He can't be distracted by everybody else's verse. Family worship is an awesome time to train. Just little things like that. They need training. They need to do it over and over. And like I was saying, this one title we've got, basically it's talking about responsibility, faithfulness, reliability. Okay? And each night I ask my youngest, what's the title of our chapter? Okay, so his question is the same every night. He may not be able to tell me the deep meaning of responsibility or reliability. But he's got a question. What's the title of our chapter? There's something for everybody to learn. I'm trying to give you the idea that it can be very simple. You don't have to go into family devotions doing a 3-hour study, trying to make something fancy and big, because you might do that one day, you might do it 2 days, you might even do it 6 days, but you're not going to do it for 1,000 days in a row. Guaranteed. We're looking for something you can do 1,000 days, 1,000,000 days, as we saw in the speed limit coming out here. They say buckle up for the next 1,000,000 miles or something. I got a kick out of that. We want something that you can do every day, and then the inspiration will come. Your children, when they're 20 years old, will be inspired by the track record of what mom and dad gave them. My mom and dad did that every day, even though they didn't feel like it. What a heritage. Because they're not, I guarantee you, they're not going to feel like it every day when they get married. And they have children. But they know that mom and dad did it every day. You say, well, today it's just been such a terrible day. Things aren't right. I mean, I argued with my wife. I can't do devotions today. I'm just not right. Go ahead and get right. But do the devotions. Do the devotions anyway. You can get right. to teach listening, to teach sitting. I want to tell you a story about two dads. One honored the Lord above his children. Genesis 18, Abraham. God knew Abraham. I think it's verse 19. I know him. That he will command his children. Somebody can read it for him. You want to read it there? Start there at... he's having a conversation. This is right before Sodom, and he's saying, hey, should we let Abraham in on what we're about to do? I mean, he's having the conversation in heaven, so to speak. Should we let Abraham in on what we're doing? Take it up right there.
Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
That's what I want. That's what I want for me. I would like the Lord to be able to say that about me. I would like the Lord to be able to say that about you. I know Paul. I know that he's going to train his children to follow me. And his whole household. I don't know how many servants you have over there, Paul. But the whole household, all of his children's friends that they were around, the workers, and all the workers' children got trained too. There were no bad apples to lead his children astray because he took the whole kit and caboodle, all of them. And he said, and he commanded them. He gave them a lesson in practical Christian character of following after God. Basically, he made it happen. He made it happen in his home. And he made it happen for the whole family and for all the workers and everyone. Did he have bad days? Yes. Did he have failures? Yes. Was he perfect? No. But God knew him that he would command his children after him in the ways of the Lord. How can you do that without daily devotions? I would like to see them expanded throughout the whole day while I'm in the truck moving beads. When I'm talking with my children, and we do that. You know, did you just say that the best you could have said it to Janice when you were talking with her, Joy? Hey, Judson. You know, I was hearing how you were talking with Jordan. And I wonder if you could go back and talk to him. I think his feelings, you got kind of angry and you got kind of pushy. And mostly it's me that ends up having to do that. You'll find you fail. When you start asking your children to do things, you'll find you're the biggest problem many times. And you're going to have to make stuff right yourself as a father. But you don't wait on, put everything else on a hold till you're perfect. Daily, every day. The other dad that we were talking about, Eli, I mean, he put his, honored his children above the Lord. Abraham honored the Lord above his children. Eli honored his children above the Lord. Turn to, if you would, to 1 Samuel. The first passage is 12 to 24. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. The priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. He stuck it in the pan. These guys were, they were being pigs. Okay, they weren't any kind of example at all. They were just being pigs. And you move on down there. Verse 22, and Eli was very old. I mean, these guys were doing the most evil things. And they were the priests, the sons. They were the highest spiritual example in the land. And Eli heard all that his sons did. How they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? I picture it in a whining, wimpy type of a tone. I mean, not that he was going to put a stop to it, but, you know, why are you doing it? But there was no stopping it. Well, God put a stop to it. Chapter 3, 11 to 14. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice or offering forever. And then we move to 4. Chapter 4, verse 12 to 22, there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent, with earth upon his head. When he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching. His heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult? And the man came in and told Eli. Eli was 98, his eyes were dim, he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? The messenger answered and said, Israel's fled before the Philistines. There's been a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself in travail, for her pains came upon her. About the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast born a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. She named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. A couple things. He honored his children above the Lord. Those children did not get the blessed life that God wanted for them. I mean, it was so bad. You know, you think, well, they lived high. You know, they lived the life this world has to offer. You know. But in the end, when Eli heard the news, did he weep over his sons? Did he fall back and die over his sons? It doesn't even mention his sons. It was when he heard that the ark of God was taken, he fell back. I don't know what his thoughts were regarding his sons. And the wife, when she died because her father-in-law died and because the ark was taken. She didn't sound like she didn't die because her husband was killed. I mean, think about that. But is it any wonder? When I was growing up in Spokane, Washington, we went to church every Sunday. We lived out in the country. We came up Division, and we turned east. We went north on Division. We turned east on Indiana, and at the corner of Indiana and Division, there was a bar. And the bar's name was Ichabod. And every week, I go by this. And we turn right at Indiana, and I remember the times as I got old enough and I could see the sign. And my dad knew the meaning of it. I mean, he didn't say this meaning. He said, the Lord has departed from this place. Well, it's the same. What an accurate picture. What a sad picture. Family devotions with the rebel in the family. You may be in that position. Don't give up. Pray every day. You know, I don't know how to counsel you. Don't give up. The Lord is gracious. He's merciful. But what I'm saying is to make this effective, you've got to train your children. You can't be slack on that and think you can patch it all up in family devotions. Train your children to honor their father and their mother. That means come when they call. Give just a couple words on that. To honor our parents, a decent respect to their persons, an inward esteem of them, expressed upon all occasions in our conduct toward them, to fear them. You shall fear every man his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God. To give them reverence, not mocking or despising them, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out. The young eagles shall eat it. The true test as to whether a child is honoring to his parents is how he acts when they're not around. Okay, we got a couple minutes left. Just a few things we've used. Like I said, we usually start with our devotional. We like to do some verses. One thing I do with verses, and I'll just show you real quick. Joseph and John, Joseph, you come up here. I'm just going to show you a simple way. Why don't you just pull it up? Right now we're working. My goal is to have all my children leave the house. No, that's not my goal, not to just have them leave the house, but they will leave. To leave the house with, I have a whole bunch of chapters of Scripture in mind that they need to be memorized before they can think about getting married, okay? So I have these verses in mind. You know, just good books like Matthew 5, 6, 7, the book of James, Proverbs 1 and 2 are awesome, Psalm 34, just a whole bunch of good Scriptures that they need to have. The time for them to memorize is when they're young. Okay? I don't know about you, but any memorization I did when I was older than 30, I can't remember. I have to, review it every week. But the stuff that my dad had us memorize when I was little, I still can say. It's weird, but that's how it works. So, don't waste your time while they're young. Okay? Right now we're working on Philippians 2, 1 to 16. Okay? This is so simple. Anybody can do this. And we start it with as soon as they can talk. Okay? They just have to stand. And I make them stand straight. I mean, you know, every once in a while we'll start going like this. And no, we got to stand on both feet. We've got to put our legs. It's training. Okay? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vow of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through
strife or vainglory,
but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, the first day they do it, you have to say the word really clear with your lips, okay? So, because they're not looking at a Bible, they're just following your lips. So, try to say it really clear for them. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Sometimes you can say a wrong word and they'll have to raise their hand to correct you. Now, they love that, but sometimes it gets out of hand pretty quick, so you gotta, you know, you always gotta keep things kind of in order. Thank you.
I'd like all my children to have these scriptures memorized and a bunch of hymns. And we're taking kind of our hymns of the month, but anybody can do that. Most of you are probably already doing it. And again, as far as books, you can come look at some of the things we've done. Streams in the Desert.
The one that's two of them. And that's really good.
This would be occasional reading and a thought where I want some of my older children to get into good stuff. But it's pretty deep. William Law, Holy for God. This is an awesome thought for young men. J.C. Ross. Very good one. And it's good for the whole family. It's not just for young men. It's just a great book. Overcoming Evil, God's Way. We did that one. Another one is My Utmost for His Highest. Not only the book, but there's also a Bible through the year reading. And we'll do like that. You can read the Bible through the year. And they have, you know, there's a whole bunch of those different types out there. This guy, Bob Schultz, wrote several books. One, Created for Work. It's really good for training young boys and really good character. Daily Strength for Daily Needs, very good. And again, these other books that I mentioned. You know, whatever it takes to help you to give to work with the family. With all these things, with doing the scriptures, the songs, I don't know. I want to hear from you guys, but you better probably bring it to an end. Is there some things that I missed here that would really be helpful for people to hear? I asked Paul to come because I wanted him to just some thoughts, Paul, as far as what you do in your family.
I just like to underline what Dan said here about being faithful every day. I didn't see the hand count of how many people have family devotions. I assume it's
quite a few.
Yeah, good. Yeah. But there's been a time in my life for probably at least a year where I didn't have family devotions. Just sort of, I don't know what happened. I'm not sure how I got back, but I think basically just do something. And be faithful. Yes, be faithful when the inspiration will come.
Yeah,
I've been challenged by this testimonial, and I have to say, I'm also still being inspired from the example of the daily devotions that my dad was conducted in his home. What I'd like to bring out just in a moment here is reading the Word of God with the Spirit and the understanding also. Did any of you notice how Brother Mark read the Bible, that verse, a couple of verses? He read it with the Spirit and the understanding also. One of my pet peeves is when is reading the Word of God. Now this is the book of all books. There is no other book like the Holy Bible. And just read this. I'm going to read a verse here in John 20, verse 17. And see if you can contrast the way it's read. Sometimes it's read kind of, the Word of God is read in a church. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my Father and say unto him, I ascended to my Father and to my God and your God. Well, it's still the Word of God, but it wasn't read with the Spirit. This is the way the Word of God should be read. I hope you listen up for a mark of the Word of God. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And I think that we can teach our children that that the Word of God should be read with the Spirit. And I'm not talking about performing or acting out, but, you know, to make it come alive, because it is alive.
Amen. Thank you. We need to end so you can get to your next class. I just really